Yea, amen. Amen. Looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. One of the things that has really been coming to my mind lately is just finding out what God's will is. And this is something that every believer struggles with. They all fight with this issue, what is God's will? How do I know what God's will is? I'm going to try and address that in this message today as to what God's will is. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you is not yea, nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and some men, to me this was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." I'll read verse 20 one more time. "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Amen. As I always say, the preaching message called yea and amen. Yea and amen. Praise God. If you go to the Lord in prayer, let's ask for his blessedness to continue with this service. God, we just thank you right now. We worship you. We glorify you for your goodness and for your mercy. God, we just ask that your spirit, God, anoint my mouth, Lord God. Fill my heart with your words, Lord Jesus, to inspire, to draw, Lord God, to make relevant, to make real, to make manifest your will in this service, God. We just thank you right now and praise you for all the wonderful things that you've done, for what you're doing and for what you're going to do. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Stephen. Talk to you about God's will. This is something that we all struggle with as to what God's will is. And whenever we pray, we often pray in hope but not in faith. And the difference between hope and faith is that hope is just that you're wishing for something to happen. You have, it's a desire, it's an outcome, you know. Some people at the beginning of the basketball season was hoping that the Lakers would have a really awesome team, they'd have a really great record, and things aren't going so hot for them. You know, people will hope, well, I hope I win the lottery, I hope that I can finally get this car, or I hope I'll finally find that husband, or finally find that wife. Hopes, desires. But there's no guarantee that you're going to get it. There's no guarantee. There's nothing that you have that says, well, I'm going to get the job. There's nothing that says, well, I'm going to go later and win your championship this year. There's nothing that guarantees you that you're going to get it. You know, just you see a falling star, you think that's a sign that, well, I hope I'm going to get it. But the thing is, we want to transition from this hope into faith. Amen. We want to transition from hope into faith. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is substance. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a guarantee. Faith is, there's some sort of guarantee that tells me that I'm going to get what I'm receiving. For example, if you were to go to McDonald's, you were to walk up to the counter, and you were to say, you know, I want a free Big Mac. You have no cash, you have nothing on you. What are the chances that you get that free Big Mac? Nothing, unless you got an inside man or someone who's slipping something on the table. But no, you have no guarantee. But if you got a coupon, and you go up there and you say, I want a free Big Mac, and you show a coupon, and they legally have to give you what's on that coupon.
That's right.
They legally have to give you what's on that coupon. They can't refuse. Now you have a guarantee. That's faith. And the scripture, God's word, is like a coupon. It tells you what you're going to get. And God has to abide according to his word. And oftentimes, whenever we pray and we're trying to ascertain as to what God's will is, we pray in hope, but we're not praying in faith. We have a desire, but we have no guarantee. We're going to McDonald's trying to get the free Big Mac. We have no coupon. We have no guarantee. And the thing is, even if, let's say you do have a coupon, if you don't follow the direction of the coupon, you still don't get anything. You got to, sometimes it's a bottle, you get one free offer, you can get a free drink with this. You got to follow all the instructions of the coupon. And the thing is, a lot of people, they're trying to come to God and say, give me this blessing, give me that. They're hoping.
Say it.
But if you come there with a coupon, his word, now you have a guarantee, you have a basis of faith to receive the things that God has in store for your life. And that was a side note, but that's one of the main points I want to make really in this message is, how do we know what is God's will? I want to talk to you about the word, about God's word. It's so powerful. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that we see in existence, everything that the pew that you're sitting on, the attic that comprises the seat that you're sitting on all the molecules and all the stars, the planets, the comets, the meteors, and all the various aspects of life are all here because of what God said. God said, let there be, and there was. The Bible said that everything is held together by the power of His Word. That we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword.
It's
a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It divides the choice of the marrow. It's the most powerful thing that there is. But we have the question, why is God's Word so powerful? Because God is the very embodiment of truth. Therefore, whatever God says becomes reality. Jesus said that I am the way, that I am the truth, and I am the life. God is the truth. And therefore, everything He speaks is the truth. Therefore, everything He speaks becomes real. Even though it's not in existence at the moment, once He said it, it becomes real. It becomes a fact. It becomes reality. The Bible says in Romans 3:4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a lie. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Everything that God says is the truth. You can bank on it. You can depend on it. The words of other individuals, of politicians, of friends, of relatives, they can fail, they can falter. But the Word of God is true and shall forever remain the truth. Since God is the truth or the reality, everything that that represents Him or is of Him must also be of the truth. The Bible says in John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the only truth that we fully have is the Word of God. We must worship Him best in spirit, with zeal, with all of our tenacity, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with everything that we have to worship Him. But we must also worship Him in the truth. The Bible says in Psalm 119:104, it says, through thy precepts I can understand. Therefore I hate every false way. That we are believers in Christ. We're believers in the truth. And as believers in the truth, we should hate every false way. Everything that's contradictory to what the Word of God says. But oftentimes we embrace things, we listen to things, watch things, enjoy things, fellowship with things that are contrary to what God has to say in His Word. But the Bible says I hate every false way. Everything that tries to deny or attack the integrity of God's Word, I hate. Now that sounds kind of strange, a Christian hating something, but the Christian should hate some things. There's something that a Christian should hate, and the Christian should hate, the believer in Christ should hate things that are untrue, things that are false, because the Bible says that Satan is a liar, and he's the father of lies. And every lie that is in existence originates with him, he's the originator of everything that's a lie, and he's the truth in the boat of him, and he murdered the truth, the Bible says. He massacred it, he perverted it, he corrupted it. He did everything to destroy the truth. And we should hate every false way. And the way that we find out again what the truth is through the Word of God. Through the written and spoken Word of God, anything can happen. Just by His Word, the universe was created. And it is the most powerful weapon in our fight against the enemy because, as I said before, Satan is a lie. And the way that you beat a lie is by telling the truth. The truth will always beat out a lie. And the thing of the devil, he is lying to you through every circumstance in life almost. Everything that you say looks like that you can't win. Looks like you can't get healed. Looks like that you can't get blessed. It's a lie because God's word says the opposite. That God says, I'm the head and I'm not the tail. The Bible says that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn the rest of the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. That God says, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth thee. The Bible says, what should we say in these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Every circumstance that you think that is going to beat you or kill you or destroy you or defeat you is lying to you. That's why you got to get a coupon and say, you know what, I can't get this free good back. You know what, I can't get this blessing. Because God's word is the truth. And it's sad because at the movie says, some of us, we said, I want the truth. Some of us can't handle the truth. Some of us can't handle the truth. When the Word of God goes forth and tells us how to get the free Big Mac, we don't want to follow instructions. And because of that, we don't inherit the promises of God. The Bible is a big book of promises, but what many fail to realize is that in order for those promises to be carried out, one must be capable and competent to receive them. Look at this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I want you guys to see this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. One of the things that we struggle with is that we understand that God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. God has no resources. God is not bankrupt. He's not on food stamps. He's not on welfare. There's no lack of resources in God. God is an infinite, eternal, everlasting being. And because He's all powerful, we think that everything that occurs in our life, our circumstance, is of God. We think, well, the car broke down, God must have had a purpose for my car breaking down. Or I'm sick, maybe God has a purpose for being sick, or God sent the sickness to teach me something. And that in itself is a lie. God is not in control of everything. I know that's not a message of your theology, but God is in control of everything. Because of this little thing called free will. Free will. And it's very evident that God's will is not being done, that God's in control of everything, because look how jacked up the world is. Remember this in 2 Peter 3:9. The Bible says the Lord is not slack in son in his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long suffering to us, will not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is for every single individual to be saved. It is not God's will for anyone to die and go to hell. Not as but for whatever reason people are dying and go to hell. That tells us right there that God's will is not being accomplished on the earth. The Bible says in the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Now in heaven, God's perfect will is being accomplished. And on earth, God's perfect will is not being accomplished, otherwise He would ask us to pray for it. And the fact of the matter is, in heaven, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no pain, there's no sorrow, no drama, no baby mamas, no broke down cars, no car, no anything. There's nothing that can happen. None of that's in heaven. But the fact is, all that's going on earth. So that tells you that God's will is not being accomplished on the earth. That tells you that God's perfect will is not being accomplished on the earth because there's so much trouble. If God wanted that, if this was God's will, we'd have to see all that drama up in heaven as well. But we're going to see that in heaven. Because that's not God's will. That is not God's will. So just because a tragedy is happening to you does not mean that God sent it or God is trying to give it to you. On the contrary, the thief is the one who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have more money. So we need to disregard this notion that everything that happens to me is God's will. Not true. Oftentimes, the things that occur in our lives is not God's will. It's not God's will at all. But now many of us wonder, well, why are God's promises being fulfilled? It's because that God accomplishes His will through mankind. God accomplishes His will through mankind. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible talks about how God gave man dominion. He said, be fruitful and multiply, to replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the earth. God relinquishes control. He relinquishes legal rights, so to speak, to have dominion over the earth, and He gave over mankind. God cannot accomplish something unless it's through mankind itself. I remember when I was back in Michigan, my parents were having me mow the lawn. And sometimes I'm just getting in fights with this lawnmower. Just do everything I could to start. And last time I was down there to mow the lawn, the pull cord on the lawnmower broke. Whatever that it broke, I mean, it was still attached to the lawnmower. It's just that after you pulled it, it wouldn't rewind itself back in. So if you pulled it and it didn't start, I'd disassemble the cover, I'd get a screwdriver and a butter knife and try and wind the stupid thing back up so it started. You have any idea how frustrating that is? You have to mow the lawn, and so I pull it and it wouldn't start. Try to wind the thing up. You pull it again, it wouldn't start. Try to wind it up. And then the other thing is, it would be frustrating. Once it did get started, and I start pulling, and then the bag would get full, I'd have to turn it off. And then I'd have to go back down and have to wind it up again. And the thing is, my will is my lawn to be mowed. The thing is, the way I accomplish my will is through that lawnmower. And if the lawnmower doesn't cooperate with me, my will doesn't get accomplished. It's the same thing with God. You're the lawnmower. And God is putting on your heart all the time. Trying to start.
Yeah, it's true.
And our wills are so stubborn, wanting our own thing. It's like the thing has a will of its own. Because you do have a will of your own. And God is not forced His will on you. He's not some jerk trying to impose His will on you. He's not a dictator trying to manipulate you. He's pulling on you. But if you don't want to start, then you're not going to start.
Right.
So because of that, God's will is not being accomplished on the earth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:17, back to my scripture text. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, but I purpose according to the flesh. That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay, but as God is true, our word towards you was not yea, and nay. In the flesh, there is the option of yes and no. Because in the flesh we have free will. Here Paul tells us that in the realm of the gospel, or the spiritual, the concept of no or nay does not exist. Because we have the mind of Christ. Let me explain this to you. In the flesh, there's yes and no. We have free will. But in the spiritual realm, according to God's perfect will, because God is a spirit, they that worship must worship in spirit and truth, there is no more. No. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man doesn't receive the promise of God, because in it is no, in it is doubt. Well, I don't know if God really wants me to have this, or I don't know if God can actually do this, or I don't know this, and I don't know that. Because there's that area of doubt, there's an area of rejection of God's will being accomplished. There's a yes and there's a no. There's a maybe, there's a sort of, there's a could be, it should have, there's all these different possibilities that exist. But whenever you're operating in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, there is no more no. There's only yes, Lord. There's only yes, God, may your will be done. The natural or fleshly man can't understand, because in his dimension there's no. He sees things not happening. He sees things not being accomplished. He sees things not occurring. Because of that, there's this doubt. There's this unwillingness to actually believe that God actually can or that God actually will. The mind of Christ was a mind of submission unto God. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That Jesus Christ, whenever he came on the earth, he had a will of yes, Lord. Nevertheless, let this cup of God pass me. If possible, let this cup pass me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That God, my will is to do your will. My will is yes. There is no no in the believer to God. My will is always yes. The Bible says in Luke 22, 41, and he was withdrawn from them about stones cast, and kneeled down in prayer, saying, Father, if thou wilt, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Christ has the mentality of servitude and submission. He subjected his flesh, his body, his entire being, even unto death. He lowered himself to the ultimate point of submission. He got himself into a position to say yes. Because the promises of God are both in him, yea and amen. 2 Corinthians 1:19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. There was not a yes and a no. There was not a possibility of no. There was only yes. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Jesus Christ is the yea, and he is the amen. He is the promise of God. He is the yes of God. When God wants to accomplish his perfect will, he bound himself in Jesus Christ, who was the form of a servant, who always said yes to what God wanted to do. He is the yes of God, the yea, and he is the amen. He is the fulfillment of the word of God. For in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ was the promise in the Garden of Eden that yes, I will deliver you. Yes, I will save you. He was the promise in the Garden of Eden. The serpent would bruise his heel, but Christ would crush the serpent's head. But he became the amen on the cross whenever he fulfilled that which was promised in the Garden of Eden. And on resurrection morning, he took all power over death, hell, and the grave. In order to see the promise of God, one must first say yea or yes to his will. By doing this, we are acknowledging the promises and the believing that we shall indeed receive them. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your heart as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Say it.
God's will wants to be accomplished, but he can only accomplish it through you. Submission to the will of the Spirit is important. And this is done through faith. The Bible says that thou canst believe. All things are possible to him that believe. Now I want to talk about the amen part. We talk about the amen part. I'm going to talk about the yes. The yes is a consent to submission. The amen, however, is the fulfillment. The word amen is a Hebrew word which means to affirm, and hence also faithful. We find this in Revelation 3:14 and Isaiah 65:16.
The authorized version is the God of truth, which is the Hebrew word, the God of amen. It literally means be fulfilled, come to fruition, or be made manifest. It is a word that's used to confirm the words, or confirm what was spoken. Something is spoken, and you want that thing that was spoken to come to pass, you say amen. In other words, so be it. May it be fulfilled and manifested in my life. The reason why we say amen in the church, because the word of God is being preached, and the word of God is God's will for our life. And God's will can only be accomplished through us. And whenever we are in agreement with God's will, that's when his will comes to pass. So God put us on this earth to say amen, to say, Lord, may your will be fulfilled.
Yes.
There you go, you get the idea. Amen. And this is why that we don't get blessed, because we're not saying, God, let your word be fulfilled. The Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God created the church to create witnesses who would establish or would affirm his will in the earth. God didn't just say he was occupying you. He said to say amen to my word, to make my word fulfilled.
Amen.
Because the Bible is God's will for my life. People say, well, I don't know what God
this with my life. Or God doesn't speak to me. You're waiting for the clouds to part and some big light to come down or some deep voice, baritone voice coming to you and say, thus saith the Lord. But God is speaking to you through his word. You just need to open it up and listen to what he has to say and say, God, yes. God, amen. But because a lot of times we don't know it's in the word of God, the enemy comes in and he reruns our habit in our lives. But I just want to read you some promises that are in the word of God. First of all, there are a lot of you that you've been praying about stuff and you did not see results, you did not get answers. I want to give you some coupon that says this is going to get your prayer answered. The Bible says in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
And say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire. Someone say amen.
Yeah.
And amen. And shield, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Somebody say, yeah.
Yeah.
And amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thy heart. Somebody say, yeah.
Yeah.
And amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Somebody say,
yeah.
In my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Somebody say
amen.
And someone say amen. See, there it is. Let's give you like 5 coupons to get you a free answer prayer. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says in Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. But where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Someone say yay.
Yeah.
And someone say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall. We got mainly we, but we shall. If we faint not, someone say yay.
Yeah.
Swollen up, and I commanded the name of Jesus to heal, and the sweat went down and started wetting his finger. you, that God is a healer. That God wants you to be healed. God does not want you to be sick under no circumstances, because God wants you to be sick. I'm really sick of not healing. They're going to call for it. If there's anyone that's sick in here, I'm going to call you for it. I'll pray for you. I'm a person that over and ask you, what's wrong with you? And I want you to tell them what's wrong with you. They're going to pray for you. They're going to tell them, I'm healed. The Bible says in 3 John 1:2, beloved, I was the lost and thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prosper. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
And someone say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in Malachi 4:2, whatever ye that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his gates. And so, oh God, the God that's cast his thoughts, someone say amen.
Yes.
And someone say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in Psalm 32, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Somebody say amen. And somebody say amen.
Amen.
The Bible simply said that thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And somebody say amen.
Amen.
Only one last one, this is what we're going to fulfill. Is there any sick among you that have called to the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing with oil, in the name of the Lord, and save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Someone say, yay.
Yeah.